Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about ASA members' interests, usage, obstacles, etc. in using social media. So this was something that I was interested in doing when I became leader of the social media community to try to find out where we're at as a society. What's our level of usage, kind of get a baseline to see where everybody is, because we're made up of a number of different types of disciplines, a number of different requirements as far as teaching or extension or research. So I was interested in trying to get some of that information. And the reason for that is because we know that there's a lot of individuals out there that are using social media. Okay, we know our students are using social media, whether it's for networking or keeping in touch with each other. This is actually an example of one of my undergraduate students that works in my lab. He's the gentleman that you see on the right. Basically, he's also an entrepreneur. He has a clothing line. And basically, one of the big ways that he tells people that new designs are coming out, he releases new designs every quarter or so, is basically using this Instagram site that he's got. So he'll show pictures. He'll show them modeling some of their clothing, and you know, from what I've heard, it's been pretty good business for him. But that's just an example of some of the different ways that students are using social media to interact. Also, our farmers are using social media. They're using it to get information that they need out in the field. This is an example. This is a farmer that I follow on Instagram. And he's really good about posting information, and it really provides information to other farmers. So you can see, well, you probably can't see, it's a little small, but basically he's planting cotton. It's basically a video he uploaded. He's planting cotton, and he's planting it in a skip row fashion, so they're skipping every other row. But then somebody else commented, well, we don't do that, we plant solid, so you know, the entire field. You know, one person said, you know, it helps reduce boll rot to plant in a skip row fashion. And he also mentioned at the bottom that everyone around him planted in this solid way, but you know, they're planting skip row, they make about the same yields, yet they save a lot on input. So right there, you know, those are farmers talking to farmers, getting information out about what works for them, what doesn't work for them, and you know, it's kind of the basis of extension when we're working as extension specialists. Okay, so we've got students that are using it, we've got farmers that are using it, we've got just the average, you know, layperson. Okay, this is, you know, a guy with a landscaping company. You know, in addition to his website and his phone number, he's also got, you know, telling them to look him up on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, trying to increase, you know, the number of people that know about him. Okay? So there's basically everybody is using social media, so there's not really a good reason why we shouldn't be. To recruit students, to interact with farmers ourselves. And so that's kind of the driving force behind getting this survey out there and trying to figure out where we're at as a society. So what we did was I worked with Susan Chapman, who's Director of Member Services, and I talked to her about my ideas for doing this survey. And at the same time, they were also working on constructing a survey to identify if ASA members would be interested in being part of an online community. And so these meshed pretty well, these ideas. So we developed a survey that revolved around both social media and online communities. Some of the information, so we developed a survey for SurveyMonkey, and some of the questions we got from a previously published master's thesis where a student identified questions to find out about social media usage among 4-H programs in Tennessee. So a lot of the questions could be adapted to our members, so we didn't necessarily have to start from scratch. We could use something that had worked in the past. And so, you know, she now has graduated. She works as an ag 4-H agent in Georgia, and in their office they use Facebook and blogging to be able to interact with their stakeholders. So it works out very well for them too. So getting back to the survey, we ended up with about 5 demographic type questions. So we're looking at gender, age, you know, where they work, things like that. 8 questions related to social media, 8 questions related to online communities. And basically, we developed the survey in January, February of this year, and we launched it at the end of February. We contacted folks a few times, sent reminders about the survey. We also had an incentive, which is that $100 Amazon gift card. People that wanted to could participate. They could win 1 of 2 of these cards. And so we tried to boost the response as much as possible. We sent it out to all the members except for those that were emeritus faculty. And we got a little over 800 that participated, so that ended up being about a 12% response rate. It's not a great response rate, but you know, a lot of people are busy. You know, we tried to use as many methods as we could to try to increase responses. But basically, when you have a low response rate, you want to see if at least those that responded are similar to the makeup of who the population that you're going after. Okay. So I looked at some of the data from our membership, and as far as the gender was concerned, it was pretty similar. There's about 25% female, 75% male in the membership, and that was related in those that responded to the survey. Now, on the age side of things, we had a bit of a difference. You can see here specifically, we had more younger members participating in the survey. And so, of course, the data then is going to be skewed a little bit to some of their attitudes and ideas. Now, you know, we can understand this was an online survey, so probably these younger groups, so the 34 and under were had greater participation rates. This is also the millennial generation. So these are a lot of the people that are tech savvy, that use technology a lot, and so we got more representation from them. So basically for the surveys, the rest of the information I'm going to show it based on these age groups, okay? Because otherwise it would be skewed if I didn't. So I'm going to do that for everyone except for this one. So this graph is everybody all together basically asked, how do you use social media? Do you use it both professionally and personally, professionally only, or not at all? So basically, we got about a 62% usage rate on a professional level, where it's professional only or professional and personally. Of course, remember that's skewed towards the younger folks. But if you look at a breakdown of the ages, so basically we've got this chart, and this is it broken down by age groups. So we've got a high number of participants of the younger age groups that are using it. And then it kind of drops off as the ages get older, which we can expect. One thing that was interesting was that the less than 25-year age group was actually lower than some of the older groups. And I think one of the reasons for this is that the younger ages might be aware of the technology, they might use it, but they're using it more on a personal level, okay? Whereas when we're talking specifically professionally, we've got older groups of individuals that are aware of the technology that have actually been able to apply it to a professional situation. So the 25 to 34 age group, you're looking at PhD students, early career members, so they're actually able to apply some of that. So I think there's a good synergy between younger folks that know and are aware of the technology and older folks that kind of know how to apply it or might be better at applying it from a professional level. Okay, so we asked about, from a professional standpoint, what were the top 3 applications? The top one for all age groups was LinkedIn, and I think that's understandable. LinkedIn is pretty well known as kind of a professional networking sort of site. The second highest was basically YouTube, so having those videos out there to show people how things work or to explain something, those are usually really helpful from a professional standpoint. The third highest was kind of a scatter of different things, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, video chat. And then we asked about the top 3 applications from a personal perspective. So if you're using these social media applications from a personal usage, this is what we got. Basically, the top one across the board, all age groups, was Facebook. So that makes sense. LinkedIn and Facebook are similar as far as the application is concerned. One is definitely more skewed professionally. And then the second highest was YouTube. So YouTube, once again, for both professional and personal usage. And then lastly, we've got video chat applications, things like FaceTime, Skype, those sorts of things to basically keep in touch with people. Okay, so another question we asked was what type of methods do you want to learn how to use social media or use it more effective? And that would be coming from people in ASA. So for the most part, all the age groups liked the idea of having some sort of an online method, whether it's a webinar or something like that. And basically that's kind of interesting because right now a lot of times what we're doing is we're having the social media tools and teaching takes place at the ASA meetings themselves. So we might be missing some individuals that most likely don't have time to attend the social media sessions that are here at ASA. There's a lot of different things going on, a lot of research presentations, and I know even from my perspective, you know, it might be difficult to fit everything in. And so that might be something that we want to look at, is not just offering these on-site during the meetings, but also having some sort of a way that we are able to give this information out, to provide these kinds of trainings online during the year. Okay, so then we looked at asking about attitudes toward the effectiveness of social media usage. So we looked at a number of different examples of effectiveness, and you can see those listed here. So basically, for all age groups across the board, they agreed the least with increasing my productivity, okay? And this might have to do with social media. You know, people might not know how to use it as effectively as they could. There might be, you know, some stigma as far as it being used more for social or personal aspects rather than professionally. And the one attitude that they agreed with the most was that it could reach larger audiences. Okay, and I think that's understandable too. You're able to get that information out there. If you've got a lot of people following you, you can get that to them. You can also tag people and get a lot of that information to, like I said, larger audiences. So what I did was I took all of these attitudes and I coded them to be able to get some averages across all of these different attitudes for each of the age groups. So on the next slide, this is an example of what I did. So basically, and I didn't mention before, with these different attitudes, basically they would give an answer. Either they strongly agree, disagree, or strongly disagree with any of these statements. Okay. So when I was coding, I gave a specific number to each of those responses. Okay, strongly agreed got a 4, agree got a 3, disagree got a 2, and strongly disagrees got a 1. So you can see overall for all those attitudes that I listed on the previous slide, we end up with a definite dichotomy with respect to age groups. The 44 and under age group are all statistically similar as far as their attitudes towards the usefulness of social media. They got an average of about 3, which if you remember, 3 means that they agree that social media does have a usefulness to it. If we look at some of the older age groups, we've got, you know, definitely for the 55 and up age range, we're down lower to somewhere like 2.5. So if you remember, 3 was agree, 2 is disagree, 2.5 is kind of a neutral. They're kind of neutral, not sure, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, kind of on the fence sort of thing, okay? Okay, so we also asked individuals if they had any sort of teaching or extension requirements. And those that did, we asked a few questions to. First off, there is no way to apply social media to my discipline. So once again, these responses could be strongly agree, disagree, or strongly disagree. And you can see the numbers down below indicate the point values. So for the answers to this, you know, across the age groups, most everybody disagreed, okay, which is good. I mean, we don't want anybody to think that they can't apply social media. Second question, social media is an important tool for teaching or extension. Once again, for this, you can see they averaged out, they ended up being a 3, which is agree. So they basically agreed with that statement. So that's good. Once again, across the age groups, they saw that it could be an important tool. Social media is difficult to apply to teaching or extension. So this one, again, it was mostly a 2, which was a disagree. Okay, so with the 65 and older, once again, they're kind of in that uncertain area between agreeing and disagreeing, that 2.5 area. But for the most part, people agreed or people disagreed that social media was difficult. So we see that they feel that social media can be applied to their discipline. It's an important tool, and it's not difficult to apply it. Okay, so these are all good things that we like to see from our group. The last one specifically focused on the classroom. Social media should not be allowed in the classroom. For the 25 to 64 age group, the 25 to 54 age group, they basically disagreed with that statement. The other ages, the older group, once again, they kind of were uncertain, and the younger group was uncertain, the under 25-year-old. So that was kind of surprising to me that the younger individuals were kind of sitting on the fence for that one. It's possible that they've had experiences in the classroom where social media might not have been applied in a way that was effective to their learning. We're interested in not just applying social media, but doing it in a way that's effective, okay, so that students can have some sort of a learning experience. I think it definitely can be applied effectively, and hopefully we can find some good ideas. I know that from my own personal experiences, I have a class that I teach grad students, and I provide an assignment for them where they have to take part in a Twitter discussion. Okay, so they have to follow an AgChat hashtag, and that allows them to be part of a discussion. There's a new topic every week, and a number of different types of people are involved: farmers, average general public, scientists, students. You know, there's a lot of people from all different areas, and so, you know, they just basically have to take part in one discussion over the course of the semester. And I implemented it last semester, and after the course, I did a survey, an anonymous survey, to try to find out, you know, what people felt about that assignment. And so basically, everybody, 93%, when I asked, was this assignment interesting, and would you like to, do you think I should implement it in future courses, 93% of the folks said that they strongly agreed. So they didn't just agree, they strongly agreed that this was an interesting assignment, they really liked it, and I should use it in the future. So I think, to make a long story short, if we apply the social media in a way that's useful and interesting to folks, then I think that they're going to get a lot more out of it than if we, you know, do it in sort of a haphazard sort of way. Okay, so just two more questions that we asked to these folks. I use social media to its fullest extent for my programming. So here we're talking teaching and extension again. So basically everybody disagreed with that statement. And so, one thing, you might not necessarily want to use a social media application to its fullest extent. There might be certain parts of it that just are of no value when we're talking about teaching or extension. Second, you know, people might not know the best way to use a certain program. And so that's why, you know, we're here today at this symposium, to try to get some ideas of what works and what doesn't from people who have already implemented it. Okay, and the last question, I am interested in using social media more effectively. So that was basically everybody disagreed. That's, I think I did something incorrect there, because basically, from the data, everybody agreed with that statement. Okay, I'm not sure why it was that, but Everybody agreed with the statement, and so that's basically something that we want to see too, is that people are interested in using it effectively. I think I made some sort of a math error that gave me a 2 for everything. Okay, so basically, why don't you use social media? Everybody who didn't use it, we wanted to find out why, okay? And so we had a lot of comments that were written out as to why, and so I used a Wordle. For those of you that aren't familiar with a Wordle, the words that come up most often are going to have a larger font or text size. So we can see the largest word in there is time, okay? Social media takes too much time. You know, we're all busy, and adding one more thing, you know, how are we going to do that? We just don't have the time to do it. Also, a number of people identified phone and email. Well, I'm already, you know, connecting professionally with people using email and phone. Why do I need to add something else to the mix? Also, people were talking about the differences between personal and professional communication. People were also talking about the kind of information. Would the information be misused? Would it be useful? And then people identified that they weren't sure about using social media. They weren't sure about the benefits. They weren't sure about the anonymity or the safety of using it. And then also, once again, we're back to, you know, this stuff takes too much time. I'm not going to be able to do it because of that. Okay, so switching over to online communities, we're also looking at you know, people's usage right now of online communities. And so looking across the different age groups, we've got you know, kind of what we expect. A lot of them are members in the younger age categories, and a lot of them have higher participation in the younger age categories. Now, in the 65 and up, we've got, you know, there are those that are, you know, there's a higher membership and higher participation rate in that age group as compared to some of their lower age counterparts. I'm not sure exactly why. It might be more. That's the way that they network and they connect more on that level. And then also, we wanted to find out the uses for these online communities from ASA. What would you want to use an online community for, specifically through ASA? And we gave them basically 14 different examples. And basically, the top four are those that are shown here. The top for everybody was research discussions. It makes sense. Our society, you know, we're based on research, so there's going to be a lot of research discussions out there. Posting and sharing visual information, we do that all the time. That's really useful to kind of get an understanding. And then being able to search for members and then also finding an expert. Okay, so those were the top four for every age group that was listed. Okay, so then we asked, are you interested in having an ASA online community? So once again, we've got the age groups, the 34 and under, the millennial group, had really high interest, 70% interest. It kind of decreased from there. The 35 to 54, they were still above 50%, so that's still good. A majority of them wanted to or were interested in having an ASA community. And then the 55 and older, you know, they were kind of, you know, yes and no. Okay, so we basically, at the end, we were asking for comments about social media, about online communities, and we ended up with about 570 individual comments. So I wanted to show some of these, the most helpful, the most interesting ones, so that we can kind of get an idea of what the overall take was on these ideas. So first off, people were once again concerned about the time factor. Okay, there were a lot of comments relating to that. Some just said takes too much time, not interested, too much to do, etc. There's one here. And they said, I think that the induction of social media into the workplace is counter to a productive daily work schedule. There is no reason for me to believe that spending my time filtering through discussions, etc., would do anything but distract from my already busy schedule. My plate is already full. Why heap more gravy on it? So, you know, a very colorful way of saying just don't have enough time. Okay, and that was that was very prevalent in the comments. And so with these online communities, with using social media, we really have to show people how it will save them time, okay, and how it will help them to be more productive through networking and communications and things like that. Another set of comments related to the current ways that we communicate. I have email and a phone. I don't need to be finding 10 more ways to communicate with others. What's wrong with regular email? So, you know, email might work for some people, but there are those that get lots of emails. And so sometimes, you know, if it says ASA across the heading, it might get deleted. And I'm not saying that that's me personally, but, you know, that's kind of sometimes what happens when we're trying to filter through all the emails that we get each day. So another mode might be useful. Also another comment, it's social media, it's not meant to advance science, and so I only find it minimally useful. So we gotta, you know, in addition to explaining, you know, how it can save people time, we need to show that, hey, this can help you collaborate, this can help you, you know, identify folks for grant funding, it's a good way to network. There's a lot of different ideas out there that these online communities or social media can be useful for. This is my favorite, too many crazy idiots out there doing stupid things. They always interrupt my time, and when I am busy and do not want to be bothered, they have too much free time on their hands and need to get a real job. Okay? So whenever I look at that, it always makes me smile. I can kind of see the curmudgeon behind the desk, you know, saying, bah humbug. But basically, it brings up an interesting point. There's definitely a stigma out there that social media is for social activity. It doesn't have a purpose in the professional realm. And I think that's something where, as educators, we really need to do a better job educating what we can do and how it can be used on a professional basis. So that's really, you know, one of the main points of having this symposium and then also taking it further to show people how it can be used. Okay, so now I have another set of comments that are more from the positive perspective. They've got a lot of good ideas as far as how it can be used, and some great thoughts. I have agronomic responsibilities for a major fertilizer company and industry and would value the opportunity to interact with other agronomists and soil scientists. Okay, that's one of the purposes. You really want to be able to interact with those that you might not normally have a chance to. Or people that you don't know. You can definitely identify more people through online communities and social media that way. Discussion is good for our profession. I was a skeptic of blogs, but have found that they are very useful and thought-provoking. Okay? So, once again, you know, if you don't know anything about social media, you might already have an opinion about it. That opinion might be true, it might be false, but once you get into using it and actively trying to make it work for you, you can find that there are some definite advantages to using it. It's hard to build a community with a once-per-year meeting. Having an online community may bring more activity and ideas. Okay, and this was echoed by some others. Basically, we all get here to the meetings every year, and there's a lot of great information that we get out of it. You know, I know, you know, when I come, I get a lot of ideas. I find a lot of the things interesting. But then afterwards, we go back to our own universities or wherever, and some of that synergy is kind of lost, okay, because we don't have that contact anymore that we had at the meetings. And also, one other member indicated that, you know, because of time constraints and so many different sessions, you know, just when the discussion starts getting good, we have to stop because, you know, we have another speaker coming. And so this might be a way to prolong some of those discussions and make them more sustainable. I'm an undergrad student who already spends multiple hours a week on Instagram and Facebook and think they could be used as effective awareness and discussion tools. Okay, so this is a good way. This is an example of, you know, one of the millennial individuals that we have in our community that uses social media, that sees its use and its value, and it's a way not just to interact with people, but to also promote, you know, what we're doing and to kind of get the word out there. This is my favorite one. Suppose I have a problem with my beans. Currently, I have to take a picture, go back to the office, download the photo, then upload it to email, and then I'll email it to one or two people I know who might have knowledge in the area. Or I could take a photo with my phone and instantly tweet it to the online group of bean experts, many more than I know personally, and probably get a response while I'm still in the bean field. How awesome is that? Saves time, builds collaboration, solves problems. Y'all need to do this. Okay? So, you know, very, very positive, but very constructive as far as how it can save time in the long run. I mean, if you can get real-time information while you're out there to diagnose a disease or to figure out a nutrient deficiency or something like that, that's definitely useful. That's definitely going to have an impact, and it's going to make things work much quicker. Okay, so a few conclusions related to the survey and the comments that I just went through. The millennial group, that's those 34 and under, they're definitely on board to use social media for professional usage. But we also have, you know, our older folks, 35 to 40 years of age, that are also using social media from a professional standpoint, and we really ought to mine some of the important ways that they're using it so that everybody can use it that way. Another thing, try to use or try to teach social media usage and the effectiveness using an online format rather than something that we just use here at the meetings. It's kind of a one-shot deal. Definitely trying to get it online would be the way to go to kind of get more people involved. Millennials are also on board to use an ASA online community. We had 70% interest, if you remember that graph that I showed before. But we also have a majority of folks in the older groups that are also interested. So I think overall, you know, we've got a good number of members within our society that are interested in not just using social media, but using these online communities to basically communicate, network, and improve their job performance. Now, when we're making an online community, we definitely have to keep in mind some of the things that came up, some of the comments that we had, also the results from some of the questions. You know, definitely want to have the ability to have research discussions, posting visual information, searching for members, and finding experts. Those were, like I said, those were the top four across the board. We need to make the online community user-friendly, and it has to be a vital resource for getting work accomplished because there's that time factor. People aren't going to use it if they don't have time, but if it helps them with their time management, with being able to get things done more effectively or quicker, then that's going to be something that's useful to them even if they don't have any time. Also, another thing, and it's something that one of the members commented on, is that we definitely need to get enough people invested in the online community for it to really work and be sustainable. If we've only got a few people, it's not really going to help very many. But if we've got enough people, if we've got enough critical mass, then it's going to be useful to everyone and it's going to continue. And so one of the ways that we need to do that is to advertise. Okay, and I don't mean just sending an email out to our members saying, hey, we've got a new online community, check it out. I mean using the tools that we have, some of the social media, YouTube videos, you know, anything that we have at our disposal that, you know, the millennial generation is using, that a lot of our members are already using to kind of get the word out there, rather than an email that might end up going to the trash. Okay? And basically, that's the extent of my discussion today. If there are any questions, you know, about anything that I discussed or anything that anybody wishes to ask, definitely now's the time. Sure.
Excellent talk.
Thanks.
I think your last two comments kind of capture it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to drive adoption is necessity.
Yep.
And in a lot of ways, we're already there. The audience commands it. We need to be doing it. If people begin to feel left out because they're not part of the online community or they're missing things, they'll join. Mm-hmm. That consultant loses the competitive edge because they have to go through all these steps to get their problem
right.
diagnosed. they're going to join, and then if we can't reach our undergraduates because they're not paying attention to our means of communication, then we have to bend to that.
Yeah, that's definitely, we have to adapt to survive, that's for sure. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, thank you very much. If you think of anything, I'll be here, you know, all morning, so feel free to ask me anything. Okay. Thanks.